exist. Soon I'll lay me down, return this house of clay. Deep within the ground, but that's not where I'll stay, for I will hear a voice piercing through the dark, calling out my name, saying, "Child, come forth," rendering powerless. The grave will be the voice. I cannot resist. When he calls me, I must go through the door. Down will fall at his feet. I'll stand in awe. His was the voice I could not resist. My heart has heard a million times or more. So when he calls for me, I will know his voice. His voice might have great clothes down.
Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we continue, Lord, in an attitude of worship, we pray, Lord, that today your voice would be heard, that still small voice. Lord, that you would take the remainder of this service and that you would set me aside. Lord, that you would let the Holy Spirit speak through me today. Lord, that we would hear your word today. And Lord, not only that we would be hearers, but also that we would be doers of the word. Lord, that we would surrender to that still small voice. Lord, that we would hear and understand and respond by faith. Lord, that Jesus might be elevated and exalted today. Lord, we ask all these things in your name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Stand with me, if you would, please, for the reading of God's word this morning, if you would, please. I invite your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter number 20, this morning. We're going to begin to read in verse number 11. I'm going to preach a follow-up message from our Easter message of 2 weeks ago on resurrection power. Resurrection power. You might remember that we told you that resurrection power is the greatest power upon the face of the earth. It is greater than any wind. It is greater than any tsunami. It is greater than nuclear war. And as you might remember, the things that we mentioned, those things all have the capacity of taking life. But resurrection power has the capacity to bring life from death itself. And so, as we consider this morning, let's look at the Gospel of John. Today, we'll consider John's Gospel. Last time we were together, we considered Matthew's Gospel of the account of the resurrection. Let's begin in the 20th chapter in verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And see, two angels in white sitting at one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And see, two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where, excuse me, I read that verse again, I'm sorry, verse number 13. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me whence thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and she saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken these things, or excuse me, that he had spoken these things unto her. Be seated, if you would, please. Once again, it's certainly good to have everyone in our service today. We are glad that you're here. It seems like this is Texas Sunday. We have a lot of visitors from Texas today, and so welcome. We love Texans around here. There's an old saying, you can always tell a Texan. Unfortunately, you can't tell them much. But we're glad that you're here today. We're glad to have you in the service with us. And I hope that you feel at home. We're glad that you're here. This morning, I want to, last time, as I mentioned, we spoke on the resurrection, had the power to bring life to those who had died. This morning, I want to speak to you on this point because, you know, that's the point of the resurrection, is that there's power over the grave. Amen? Amen. But beyond that, there are other things also that were accomplished by the resurrection. And they are of less of importance, but yet at the same time, they're still important. And we'll look at one of those this morning. And I want you to see that the resurrection has the power to change some from despair to delight. The power of the resurrection is so powerful that it can change those who are in despair to a place of delight. We see it here in verse number 11. It says, now notice the first word of the 11th verse is a conjunction. It links the previous verse to verse number 11. And it says, But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. Verse number 1 of chapter 20 and also verse number 18 identify Mary, this particular Mary, as Mary Magdalene. Mary was a common name in the days and times of Jesus. You know and you're familiar that the mother of Jesus was Mary. And generally speaking, when she is referred to in the scriptures, she is spoken of as the mother of Jesus. Mary being a popular name, we have Mary here being identified as Mary of Magdalene. Other parts of the scripture, we find that we have Mary, who is the sister of Martha. This is not the same Mary. This is a different individual. And so most of the time when you hear the word Mary in the scripture, it will identify which Mary is being talked about. Now, what's unique about this particular Mary is that she is from the area of Magdala. Magdala is located on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. My wife and I had the privilege of standing right in this particular area almost a year ago. This church gave us the wonderful gift of sending us to Israel for 11 days. And one of the areas that we got to see was Magdala, the area from which Mary came from. And that is why she was called Mary Magdalene. It identifies her from the area that she comes from. Now, what's interesting about this is that we were there a year ago, and back in 2009, there was a hotel that was being built in the Magdala area. And as they began to dig a foundation, they realized that they had come upon ancient relics. So they stopped the construction of the hotel. They moved it to another location, and they began to excavate the area around Magdala. And what they found on the very spot where they were going to build this particular hotel was an ancient synagogue, which dated back to the first century. They believed that it would have existed in this area when Jesus ministered in Magdala. We know from Scripture that Jesus was in that area and he met Mary and he cast out of her 7 demons. Now, most of us who have children, we have at least one demon amongst the bunch. But can you imagine having a child with 7 demons? That's a handful for sure. And so she comes from this area of Magdala. And I can't tell you the overpowering sense of knowing that you're in an area where Jesus would have ministered when he was upon this earth. What a exciting event that was to realize that here is a synagogue, and understanding that when Jesus ministered, the first place that he would go to in any of these areas would be the synagogue. And so they believed that Jesus would have instructed and taught in this particular synagogue when he was in this area of Magdala. So this woman, and we don't know a lot about her, except for that some believe that she would have possibly been a wealthy woman, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But as we think about this person, we definitely know that this was Mary Magdalene. According to John, we know that she was one of the first people at the tomb on Resurrection Sunday. The other accounts of the scripture, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, mention that Mary Magdalene was there and also Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then it mentions some other people, some other women that were there. And so she has come to the tomb. She witnessed the events just 3 days prior of the crucifixion. She is in deep despair on this particular morning. She has come for the purpose of anointing the body of Jesus Christ. That is what we're told here in the Gospel of John. Coming to the tomb, Mary realizes that the tomb, the stone, has been rolled away. The account tells us here in chapter 20 that she ran. She ran to Peter and John to tell them that Jesus was not there. You know the account. Peter and John rush to the tomb. John probably is younger, healthier than Peter. He outruns Peter. He gets to the tomb first. Here comes Peter. He comes trudging along. John doesn't go in. He stands without. And here comes Peter, rushing right by John, goes into the tomb. John stoops down and he looks in. And you'd have to be there to understand. We also had the privilege of visiting a tomb. And we don't know for sure that it was the tomb of Jesus. Could have been. It was close to Golgotha. Jesus was not crucified in the city. He was crucified outside the gate. We visited the place of the skull. You can see the image of the skull on the side of the mountain. It still exists today. It's not as defined as it used to be because of a lightning strike. But you can see the image. And that, not far off from there, there's a garden. And so they have a tomb on display that the stone is rolled to the side. It's rolled away. And you can visit the tomb. And in visiting the tomb, you have to stoop down. Because if you can imagine, you know, the tombs are made out of rock. It's hollowed out. The tomb was solid rock. And so they would have rolled a stone in front of it. So they're going to make the opening small because less work, right? So you stoop down, and we have a picture of myself and my wife coming out of the tomb. And I have to stoop down in order to make my way out of the tomb and then stand up. And so John is peering in. And the scripture says as he walks in, he sees the linen cloths, one at the foot and one at the head, and he believes. Of the individuals that were at the tomb that morning, John got it. But apparently, he didn't share that news with Mary. Now, verse 10 says, then the disciples, this would have been Peter and John, went away again to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. And she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So she's there. She's in deep despair at this point. Going back 3 days previously, she witnessed the crucifixion of her Lord. She saw the atrocity that happened to her Savior. She heard him say the words, "It is finished." She heard him say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." She saw the soldier take the spear and to plunge it into the side of Jesus. She witnessed the blood and the water flow from the breast of Jesus. She knew unequivocally that Jesus was dead. And now, a greater insult. Someone has taken the body of Jesus. She is weeping. She is in despair. She is distraught. She has a great love for our Lord. I mentioned that 7 demons were cast out of her. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the love and the devotion that Mary has for her Savior? She was involved in demonic activity there in the city of Magdala. Everybody knew it. Everybody was aware of it. And here comes Jesus. And he cast out these 7 demons. And Mary decides that she is going to follow her Lord. She loved him deeply. Mary and other women supported the ministry of Jesus and his disciples. And she followed them everywhere that they went. It is believed that Mary Magdalene was a woman of means. She had some personal wealth. And let me help you to understand something this morning. Salvation is free, but ministry costs money. Do you understand that? Salvation is free, but the cost of getting the message out is very costly. But Mary willingly, along with others, gave to the Lord. How do I know that they took offerings? Because they had a treasurer. And what was his name? Judas Iscariot. So Jesus received offerings. Ministry cost money. And I believe that there's a possibility that Mary Magdalene might have been one of those who supported Jesus. We know that she was at the cross during the crucifixion, according to the 19th chapter of the book of John, chapter 19, verse number 25. And this morning we find her at the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Where is she going to get the materials that are needed to anoint the body of Jesus? She probably underwrote the cost personally, herself. So not only did she give Jesus her heart, she also gave Jesus her pocketbook. Do you understand today that ministry takes resources? It's a necessity. It is required. And so she is a person who deeply understands this. Now think about it from this perspective for just a moment. Let me just take a moment and just camp right here. Think about it from her perspective. Jesus has commanded that 7 demons come out of her. She has given herself totally and fully to this movement called Christianity, or that will be eventually called Christianity. She has followed this Savior. She has been loyal to Him. She has supported it financially. And now He is dead. And she is at the tomb, and she is weeping over the loss of her Savior. Do you not think that for a moment the human side of her was saying, Mary, you've wasted your resources. Mary, you've wasted your time. Mary, you've wasted your effort on this itinerant preacher man. And look what has happened as a result. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Those times of discouragement, those times of despair, when you wonder, has the sacrifice been worth it? Has the work been worth it? Has the effort been worth it? We've got some folks sitting in our auditorium this morning that spent some time recently on the Navajo Indian Reservation. Been there. Spent time there. And the devil comes and he says, was it really worth it? Was it really worth it? Maybe you've ministered to a loved one that's hurting. Maybe you've taken it upon yourself to bear the expense personally for someone else who couldn't do it for themselves. And that nagging question sometimes comes, are you wasting your effort? Are you wasting your time? Mary is here. She is at the sepulcher. Peter and John have gone their own way. They've gone home. And she's there. And she is in great distress. She is very upset because Jesus is dead. And now he's missing. But I want you to understand something. Resurrection power changes everything. It changes everything. Look at the question of the angels there in verse number 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Now understand, they've got a different perspective. They know that Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus had taught his disciples that he would rise again. John had connected the dots when he went into the sepulcher. But apparently he didn't share the news with anybody at this point. Are you ever sometimes timid about sharing the news of things that God teaches you from Scripture? Are you ever sometimes timid about, will people believe me? But the Scripture definitely says that when John entered the tomb, he believed. He got it. The others did not, because they did not yet understand that the Scriptures were true, that he would rise from the dead. We have a glorious Savior today. He is risen from the dead. And he not only is able to take the dead and make them alive again, but he's also able to take us from a place of despair to a place of delight. And they ask the question, why weepest thou? But they're not the only ones. Notice Jesus asked a similar question in verse number 15. Now, she had turned in verse number 14 and she saw Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. She is so distraught. She is so tearful. She sees the Lord and she doesn't recognize him immediately. And she thinks that she sees the gardener. And she asks him the question, if you have taken his body, tell me where he is and I will get him. You see the devotion here? Now, do you really think that Mary is strong enough to do that on her own? I could rather doubt it. But her love is so great for her Savior that she will go to any cost, she will go to any length to take care of him. My friend, that's true love. That is true love. She's going to die trying, if nothing else. And notice the question. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Who are you seeking? Let me ask you a question this morning. Whom are you seeking today? Are you seeking Jesus? Because if you are, he will be found. If you are truly seeking Jesus today, he will be found. The scripture tells us if we will draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. Aren't you glad of that today? You might be in great despair today over something that's going on in your life. But I am telling you that Jesus wants to give you great power today. Jesus wants to bring you into a closer relationship to himself. Now she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto her, him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I will go get him. I will go get him. And Jesus saith unto her, one word, Mary. Mary. You see, no one ever spoke her name like Jesus did. You know what I'm talking about. Remember when your mother would call your name? It was always unmistakable. Sometimes the tone would change, and that was also unmistakable. You knew by the tone what was coming next. And Jesus says, Mary. Notice what happens. She turned herself and she saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. 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 Do you call him Master today? Is he your Lord? If he's not, he should be. If he's not, he should be. Now let's personalize this a little bit this morning. Let's bring it down to where we live. Because really that's what's important to us. We cry, do we not, over lost loved ones? Even if we know that they're safe in heaven, we still cry over them. Why do we do that? Well, let me suggest some reasons. First of all, we cry over them because of lost fellowship. If you've been, those of you who are married, if you've been married any length of time, when you're not together, you miss the fellowship, do you not? You miss the presence. And so some in this room have had to lay a loved one, perhaps a husband or a wife, or maybe a child or a grandchild, in the grave. And you yearn for that fellowship, that sweet fellowship. You grieve over that. And maybe it's fresh in your mind and you are in despair today. A lot of us have been there. We've suffered the loss of someone close. Could be a sister or a brother. Cousin. The second thing, we grieve over lost love. Love that we can give to that individual. Now, still, we can do things in their memory, and I understand that. But really, that's kind of a poor substitute. Because we yearn. Once again, to do those things a I wonder how many a widow has, prior to being a widow, complained about fixing a meal, but now wish that they had a companion to fix a meal for. It's not quite the same. Lost fellowship. Lost love. And not only love that we can give, but also love that we might receive back from that person. So maybe you're in great despair this morning. Maybe you're missing of parents. I was thinking today, that Wednesday the 26th, this past Wednesday, 19 years since my mother went to heaven. And that boggles my mind that it can be 19 years. I think, how could that be possible? And Wednesday, we were in Pagosa Springs. We woke up to snow. The day my mother died, she died on a Sunday. It was the 26th of April. And there was a snow. My mother always talked about the Bendy Bush snow. You probably don't know what that is, being from the West. But I'm from the East. Back in Pennsylvania, when you get those spring storms and the snow just hangs on the tree, it's wet. And it pulls the branches down almost to break them. They call that a Bendy Bush. And my mother always used to talk about the Bendy Bush. The day before she died, I thought most of New Mexico was in Texas because of the wind. I woke up Sunday morning at the hospital, and I'm looking out, and it's just snowing like you can't believe, the 26th of April. It's just incredible. And I go about a mile home to get a shower, and I come back to the hospital. I mean, there's like 8 or 9 inches of snow just hanging on the bushes. And I come in, and I talk to my mother, and I said, "Mom, I think it'd be a good day to go home. We got a Bendy Bush today. We got a Bendy Bush." 19 years. I can't believe it. Somebody's getting older. Thirdly, lost dreams. Lost dreams. Maybe it's a place you wanted to go together. A place you wanted to see. Or maybe it was a hope or an aspiration of something that you wanted to see come to fulfillment. I'm 66 years of age and I'm not done. There's still things that I want to see. And I'm not talking about places necessarily, but I'm talking about dreams. You see, I want to see this place be filled to capacity. I want to see this place utilize every spot on this property to the honor and glory of the Lord. Dreams. Dreams. And I've always thought, if you're going to dream, dream big. God's allowed me to see the fulfillment of one of my dreams, and that's to see the mission program of the Berean Baptist Church grow, and we've seen that happen. And we praise God for it. Over the last 3 years, we've been able to give $600,000 to worldwide missions. But I'm not done. So just hold on. There's more to do. And one of the greatest mission fields in the world is America. I've got some big dreams. And I hope you do too. But sometimes those come crashing to an end. But you know what? The resurrection changes all of that. If you have lost fellowship this morning, I want to tell you today that Jesus can take you from despair to delight. Look in verse number 18. Mary Magdalene came and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, verse 1 tells us that when she left the sepulcher the first time, she ran to get to the disciples. Not having the full picture, not having, you know, not knowing anything at this point, that she hasn't believed at this point that he's risen from the dead. She thinks that someone has taken his body. But in verse number 18, after seeing Jesus, after talking to Jesus, she returns and she tells the disciples that she has seen and talked to the risen Savior. Now, do you think that she just casually strolled up to the disciples? If she ran the first time, why in the world would she not run as fast as she could to get to the disciples to tell them the wonderful news that Jesus is risen again? And she, I believe that she runs. I believe she makes it in record time. Because now she's got a new story. It's not a story of a missing Savior. It's the story of a risen Savior. And I believe that she's full of delight. She's wanted to tell the disciples exactly what has happened. She is excited about what has happened. Now, John already understood it. But for some reason, John wasn't sharing the information. So Mary goes with great delight and she tells the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. She has seen him. She has heard him. She has conversed with him. The evidence is irrefutable. And now, instead of lost fellowship, because of the resurrection, she's had a reunion with the risen Savior. If you've lost fellowship with a loved one because of death, let me tell you something, there's a reunion coming. If that person knew the Lord and you know the Lord, there is a great and wonderful reunion coming one of these days. That lost fellowship will be restored one day when we see our loved one. Whole, without harm, without frailty. When I see my mother again, she won't be bedridden. She won't be gasping for air. She won't have arthritis. She won't have a failing kidney and bladder. She will be whole once again. Think of that. Fellowship restored. Because of the resurrection, that lost love, because of the resurrection, there's a coming a day when our love will never die. We will never again be separated from loved ones who know Christ. What a wonderful thought. Living together in perfect harmony with our Lord, never again suffering loss. Loss of fellowship, loss of love. Oh, what a glorious day that is going to be. And it's all because of the power of the resurrection. Thank God for the power of the resurrection. Maybe you have lost dreams today, but I'm going to tell you that because of the resurrections, our dreams are not here, but hereafter. Now, the reality is this. You may not ever totally realize all of your dreams. And I hope you have big dreams. I hope that you want to accomplish much for the Lord. But the reality is, at any moment, it could be cut short. I have a brother that was killed in a car wreck, taken instantly, gone out into eternity. I have a sister that died from diabetes and a heart attack. Before she died, she had to have both legs amputated above the knee. Hard to watch. Gone with a heart attack. Have a brother that died from cancer. Smoked for years and years and years and years. They were going to cut his jaw in the middle all the way to his ear. Remove it. Got in there, realized there was no hope. They sewed him back up. He lived a year. I buried my last brother a year ago, closest to me in age, heart attack. 3 years older than me. But I'm telling you, because of the resurrection, my dreams are not here. They're hereafter. That's when the perfect revelation of our dreams will be fulfilled. All because of the resurrection. Jesus made it all possible. When he hung on the cross, when he gave his life's blood for you and for me, that we might have eternal life. And he invites us to come, to confess our sins and to invite him into our hearts. And his promise is that we would do that. He would come in and he would save us. Oh, friend, the resurrection changes everything. Father, help us today. We need you so much. Lord, as I look around this room this morning and I think of the despair, the heartbreak, the loss of fellowship, the loss of love, the loss of dreams because someone close to us has left this world. I have to rejoice in the fact of the resurrection. And its resurrection power over hell, death, hell, and the grave. That if we place our trust in your Son, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, that one of these days we'll be in his presence. Help us today. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice who's lost, who's never invited Jesus into their heart, Holy Spirit, would you speak to that heart today? Lord, that they might invite Jesus to come and to reside, to forgive them of their sins and to save their soul and to wash away their sin and take them to heaven one of these days. Father, help us. Let your Holy Spirit speak to hearts today that are lost. May they come to know Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake.